Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Zerura, Alabed Gimel Yutav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dor Sheichudcha, Kivavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalad, Yud Kaf Shin, Barchem Tacharem, Rachamei Sidkacha, Tamid Gamlem. Chasin Kadosh, Birov Tuvcha, Nael Adatach. Yachid Geer Lemcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yud Taf. The letter Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, also known as the Cancer, and also the Hebrew month of Tammuz. The eighth verse we say in a whisper. Reading a verse from the Zohar. I'm reading from a verse in the Parsha of Pinchas, section 92, What We Do on Shabbat, verse number 630, and it's rather a lengthy one. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenehu. Milei hahidiktiv kos mila birkad Hashem biofdihu mila miyena bioraita barnasha ki tzarich limechave shalim kimadi Ish tam gavar shalim kimo v'yavo Yaakov shalem haketz sayrich l'mecheve nishmata shalemata v'la yihye v'av pegam dekol asher bo mum lo yikrav of haki eli alem V'hepod elam v'tamsa mila imati kadit daman yavehenu ki yad al kes ya Adonai hoshvane vavhe amudad emsaita male min tarvaihu ugin dasharya Ale Adam Dehu Shema Miporash. And the cup of benediction must be full, as it is written, a cup full with the blessing of Hashem. And also he has to be full of the wine of the Torah. And so must a person be perfect, as it is written, a plain man. The meaning of this is a perfect is a perfect man, as in the verse, and Jacob came to Shalem. Namely, Jacob is here called perfect, so also must the Neshama be perfect, without any fault being in it, because for whatever man he be that he is has a blemish, he shall not approach. So also here the letters of Elohim, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, can be rewritten as Aleph Lamed Mem with Yah, Yud He, and it has the numerical value of Kiseh, or Kos, cup, which is 86. And Aleph Lamed Mem in reverse order is male, Mem Lamed Aleph, and thus the cup has to be full. For the numerical value of the letters of the word cup is the same as full of Yah, male Yah. For when it is full, when there is Yah there, and that is because Yah has sworn by his throne, where the name is not complete but lacks the Vav and He. The numerical value of Adonai, treating all ten as units, is the same as Vav He. The central column is full from both of them, of the Yud He and the Vav He, and therefore the name of Adam, literally man, dwells upon it, which is the explicit name. Yud Vav Dalad, Hey Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph, Vav, Hey Hey Aleph, which has the numerical value of Adam. The message in the Connie, are you there? Yeah, no, because you're in the background, it's hard to see you. The message in this verse, this whole section is talking about things that we do on Shabbat. And one of the items that it's important to do on Shabbat is to say Kiddush, which in the English is being translated as benediction. And it's important, extremely important, that whenever you fill a wine cup, that it be made full. Because we don't really make the connection. But if you leave some space at the top of the wine cup, you're really indicating that there's lack in your life and you're not willing to fulfill it. You're not willing to do the extra effort to fulfill, to reach for that fulfillment, to reveal the light that represents that fulfillment. So it is very important whenever you do Kiddush, whether it's on Havdalah or on the Friday night or Saturday afternoon, it's very important that the wine cup be made as full as possible. And then you add the 3 drops of water in addition to that.
Is that just the person making the offering or for everybody having the wine?
The lenient answer to that is just the person making the offering. But it also, in my opinion, it applies to the others as well. I view the world as being very much, Hashem is a, what's the word I use a lot, a micromanager. This is my worldview. Nothing happens in this world without it being directed and controlled by Hashem to our benefit. Everything is good that happens. It's hard to see that sometimes. So if somebody is sitting at a Shabbat table and that person does not have a full wine cup to start with, what's the question? What's the reason? Why is Hashem not doing that? Well, we're the one who pours the wine. Except that we're the one who's pouring the wine based on our higher self getting directions from Hashem and causing us to make the cup not fulfilled. But as I said, the lenient answer, and there are many rabbis and halachot that will say, it's only the person who's doing the blessing that has to have their cup full. But I perceive it in the opposite answer. Everyone should start with a full cup. just to be safe. Any other questions? Okay. Marcia has kind of indicated that Shabbat is, she's familiar with the teachings from the sender on Shabbat, and so I really don't need to do a class on Shabbat. And I think that's probably true. You know, Connie, I'd suggest you go to the website and look up the class on Shabbat so you hear it and you have it available. Now, the class that I'm going to give tonight is called Consciousness. But before I start that, I want to remind you, starting next Monday night starts the 3-week period. Now, I'm sure you've been told about the 3-week period from the center, but in case you haven't, the 3 most negative weeks of the year start Monday night, the 17th of Tammuz. The 17th of Tammuz was to have been a positive day. It was to have been the manifestation of the Esser Dibrot, with Moses bringing down the Luchot, the tablets from Mount Sinai, after spending 40 days learning all of the halachot, all of the actions of the mitzvot, all of the aspects of the Torah, not at the level of the stories, but at their real essence. And we ended up building the golden calf because we miscounted the days. And it isn't that we miscounted the days, we didn't understand what day starts. If I leave at 5 in the afternoon on Monday, do I count Monday as the first day, or do I count Tuesday as the first day? The people counted Monday. So when they got to 40, Moses hadn't arrived yet. So that's when they went around and fell to the trap that the Satan had left for them, to see Moses' body, thinking he was dead, and wanting a connection to the Creator, craving that connection to the Creator. They looked for an alternative. And there are astrological reasons as to why they built a calf and why it was made of gold and so forth. But that action changed the day from a holiday, from a very positive day, to a negative day. And we see from this that man's actions very much influence the energy and the essence of our world and the space that we inhabit. You may have heard this. Hopefully you've never experienced it, but you know, you can go to a restaurant that you love and you enjoy the food there, but when you sit down at this particular day table on this particular time, the food's not so great, and the feeling that you have is really not positive. And that's because the people before you were in an argument. They were fighting. And that energy of fighting entered the table. And if you're sensitive to it, you pick up on it. It's also true if somebody's cooking a meal for you and they're angry. That energy is going into the food, and you're going to then consume it. And all of these things impact the space around us. The 3-week negative period have very special halachot. But I'm not going to call them halachot. it's recommended during the 3 weeks that you not go to natural bodies of water. There's an increased number of accidents in natural bodies of water during the 3 weeks. It's also recommended that you do a special meditation from the Ari. If you're not familiar with the meditation, it's on my website under Unique Astrological Events. And you'll scroll down and see a meditation for the 3 weeks. It's highly recommended that you do that every day, at least once, better to do it three times. That meditation is essentially a way of veiling the energy, because the energy is too much for us to handle. The normal protection shield of the the ozone layer does not work during those 3 weeks. And so the energy of the sun is much more intense. And even more so starting the first of Av, from the first to the tenth of Av, that energy is more intense and our restrictions during that period are more intense. In those days, it's recommended not to eat meat if you normally eat meat, but to not eat it unless it's Shabbat. But it's really important, and I can't stress it enough, to do the meditation during the 3 weeks. Does anybody have any questions? Is that something that you guys knew about?
Do you know which number is your Shabbat class? What number it is?
It's one towards the end, around 16, 17.
Thank you.
But it's marked clearly. You'll find it.
Okay.
If you have any trouble, just give me a call and I'll walk you to it. Okay, tonight's class is about consciousness, but it's really a deeper level than consciousness. It's called mind over matter. It's about certainty. The way to understand certainty is to recognize the difference between the power of positive thinking and how do you cause things to happen in your world. In the Torah, Moses is told to strike the rock and water will flow from the rock once. He's told to do that at the beginning of the 40 years. And miracles happen. And this rock, which may be a big rock, it might be a pebble, it's not important. This rock travels with the people in the desert. And every time it's needed, every time they stop, the rock flows water. And it flows sufficient water for 3 million people. An amazing miracle. And then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Moshe, passes. The people are about to enter the nation, enter the land. And now the rock doesn't work because it only flowed water in the merit of Miriam. That's a whole discussion unto itself. Why does it take the merit of a righteous person to obtain a miracle? why were the people not able to obtain the miracle themselves? They have the tools, just as we have the tools. We have been given the tools. Every tool that was revealed in the desert to Moshe, and from Moshe to the people, those tools are revealed in the basic course that I teach, the basic course that you received from the center. They basically consist of the Hebrew letters, the Torah itself, the Zohar, the 72 names of God, the Anabakoach, tithing, other aspects, the calendar, the holidays. All of these tools were revealed in the desert and everybody had them. So the question is, why do you need a tzaddik? Why do you need a righteous person? And if I forget to answer that question later in the class, please remind me. But Miriam passes, the rock stops flowing water, and the people are complaining. They're looking to Moses, bring us water. And Moses is told by God, speak to the rock, and water will flow. And Moses gathers the people. All of them are standing around the rock. But Moses does not speak to the rock. He hits the rock. And nothing happens. And the people get a little concerned, a little upset. Not everyone. Some did, some didn't. And this is teaching us lots of things about levels of consciousness. There is a highest level is represented by Moshe. And there are other levels of consciousness represented by other people in their lives. Moses hits the rock a second time and water flows. And everybody's happy. The miracle has returned. Except God is not happy. God says to Moses and to Aaron, I told you to speak to the rock, and you hit the rock. You may not enter the land. People then relate this as this is Moses' punishment for a sin. That's what the words of the story imply. People read it literally, and it's really a mistake to read the Torah literally. What was really going on there? What is the difference? And this is not a rhetorical question. What's the difference between speaking and hitting? Where else in the Torah do we talk about hitting? The Torah teaches us that a blade of grass, or the Zohar teaches us, a blade of grass does not grow without an angel hitting it and telling it to grow. What is the difference between hitting and speaking? Anybody want to answer? Anybody want to guess? How do you make things happen in your world? Do you do it with your hands? Or you do it with your mouth? Which is easier to do? Doing it yourself or getting somebody else to do it?
Depends on your team.
It depends on your team, okay. But as a leader, aren't you responsible for training your team?
Yeah, speaking is more powerful.
Speaking is more powerful. The sages have said that the difference between man and animal is speaking. They call our level of consciousness the level of speaking. Moses stood in front of the people and he looked around. And he saw people who could not relate to water coming from a rock by being spoken to it. He saw people who could see by hitting the rock, they understood that. He saw all the levels of consciousness between those people. And he interpreted God's words that God wanted him to hit the rock, wanted him to speak to the rock only if everybody was able to make the consciousness of being able to see the water flow when it's spoken to. Now, we live in an amazing technological world. We really do. We clap and lights turn on because there's a mechanism in the lamp, the clapper, if you'll remember the ads. I never got one, so I don't know that if it worked or not. But we have the turning on, unlocking cars now through our cell phones. Speaking. The GM system of you've been in a car crash, do you need help? All of these things are using words to make things happen. We see that in this world. For us, it's second nature. We don't think about it as second nature. We really don't think about it in detail. We just utilize it. But if you stop to look at what is going on, we're talking about consciousness, the level of consciousness of how I perceive the world. Moses thought that everybody needed to be on the same level of consciousness. So if he spoke to the rock and water flowed, there were people there who wouldn't see it flow because they couldn't accept that as a miracle. We have to be able to see a miracle, we have to be able to accept that miracle, to expect that miracle. There's a very long story, but I'm going to make it short, about the Baal Shem Tov and Moshe the thief. The Baal Shem Tov, whenever Moshe would steal, he'd run to the Baal Shem Tov and ask for a blessing to hide from the police. Now, the Baal Shem Tov is a righteous man. Why would he give a thief, a rasha, an evil person, a blessing? And yet that's what he did. Every time Moshe stole, he ran to the Baal Shem Tov and got a blessing. And then one day he decided, I'm never going to steal again except this last very large job, which he proceeded to pull off. And he runs to the Baal Shem Tov and discovers that yesterday the Baal Shem Tov passed away. There's no one there to give him a blessing. So he asked to speak to the replacement, the Magid de Mezrich, his best student. And he told him the story. Every time he stole, he went to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov gave him a blessing. And the Magid de Mezrich said, forget it. I don't give Rashaim, evil people, blessings. Go away from here. Now Moshe has stolen. The police are on his tail. He cannot go home. He doesn't know what to do, so he runs to the forest to hide from the police. And he falls asleep, crying himself to sleep. Baal Shem Tov comes to him in a dream and says, go to my grandson. And he goes to the grandson. The grandson, he says the words that came to him in the dream. And the Baal Shem Tov's grandson gave him a blessing. Police couldn't find him. And he eventually became a righteous person in his own right and started his own court, his own group of Hasidim. But the real message in this story that most people don't understand is within the Baal Shem Tov, there was no essence of theft. Therefore, he could not see Moshe the thief as a thief. Even though he told him, I'm a thief, the Baal Shem Tov couldn't perceive it. This comes to teach us aspects of our own world. We perceive the world around us. We create that world around us to show us ourselves, to be our mirror. Moshe hit the rock because he perceived that people could not understand that kind of miracle. But God was saying, give them the chance to grow. Give them the opportunity to grow their consciousness to be able to see the miracle. When you hit it and didn't speak to it, you took that opportunity away from me. You didn't validate me as God. I'm paraphrasing the words from the Torah, but you've read it, you've heard it, you know what I'm saying. This is the consciousness that over the last 23,000 years we have grown to. There isn't anybody in the world who can't use a clapper, assuming it works. Who can't speak words and see the computer work. Maybe there are some people in some of the poorer countries, third world countries, who would be shocked by it, would be amazed by it, but they've heard stories about it. It's part of their consciousness. We have reached a point where speaking is a path to miracles. Speaking is a path to manipulate matter. Some of us will be able to do that through literally mind over matter. Some of us will need technological reinforcements to be able to achieve that level of consciousness, to make that happen. It's like some people come down with an illness. They learn their spiritual cause of the illness. They do tshuva, and they change the action that created the illness, and the illness goes away. And others need to go to a doctor who hands them a pill or a prescription or an injection or an herb. These are different levels of consciousness for the same effect. Now we have prophecies that speak of the resurrection of the dead. we have prophecies that speak of a Mashiach, actually many Mashiachs. That's a separate class. But let's just say we have prophecies that describe Mashiach coming. The resurrection, the rebuilding of the temple that will happen from the top down, that will descend from heaven. And we have prophecies that describe the temple as growing from the ground up. We have prophecies that describe people flying in the air. We have prophecies that say we need an airplane to fly. We have prophecies that say the process of these things happening will come in a natural, progressive, step-by-step order. What does that mean? It means somebody invented the clapper. It means somebody invented speaking to the computer. It means the resurrection of the dead will come because medicine will improve to the point that somebody dies. If you get to them within 7 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 minutes and inject them with whatever you inject them with, the soul will come back into the body. And other people expect the resurrection of the dead to be the person who's been dead for 500 years to rise from the grave, grow his body, and that soul will come back into the body. Where is your consciousness? This is the message and the tool. If you don't think of it, it's not there. If it's not part of your consciousness, it doesn't happen. Where do you want your world to be? We have a prophecy, we have a halakha that says we have to be willing to leave for Israel at a moment's notice, that our bags need to be packed. Because when the Mashiach comes, he's going to tell us, go to Israel. And every Jewish person, spiritual person, will need to go. What is that all about? I'm very comfortable in my home. I'm very comfortable with my financial resources. I'm very comfortable with my life. I have a lack here and I have a lack there. I'm working on those lacks. Do I want the world to change so dramatically that I will fly? Do I want the world to change so dramatically that I will have an appointment in New York at 10 in the morning and in Miami at 3 in the morning and in Los Angeles at 6 in the afternoon, and I'll make all three appointments? Because I can be there, mind over matter. Do I want that? We have to understand this tool. This tool of certainty. What do I want to happen in my life? Will only happen if I have the certainty that it will happen. Now, I may have the consciousness that it will happen in a natural technological society, the way I understand it. I'll get in the car, I'll get on a plane, and yes, it will take me 3 days to be in the three cities. But without having the certainty that I will be there and not be worried about the weather stopping the planes from flying, and not be worried about so-and-so not being there at the meeting, and having the certainty of the outcome of the meetings. There's a difference between certainty and consciousness. Consciousness is a desire to receive. Certainty is the manner in which you manifest that desire to receive. Understanding this is how we achieve mind over matter. I've told you the story of the Kabbalist and Albert Einstein teaching the same material, arriving home and finding the door locked. The Kabbalist gets into the door because his wife drove up at that instant. He didn't have to wait. Albert Einstein tries to walk through the door and bumps his nose. And he has to wait a long time until somebody comes by with another set of keys. Which one is correct? They're both correct. Because they both represent the state of consciousness and the state of certainty that manifests in their life. Look at your world. Look at your consciousness. Evaluate where you are. Recognize that you can grow to this ultimate level that materiality is unnecessary. You need to be in the physical world. Materiality is the physical world. In every atom, there is Satan. In every atom, there is a blockage that keeps that atom from a spiritual place. We cannot leave the spiritual, the physical world. We're not supposed to leave the physical world. We are supposed to live in both at the same moment. And that's the understanding of the removing the limitation of Satan. Removing the desire to receive for oneself alone. The consciousness of self. If you don't expect that to happen, it never will. If you expect it to happen, if you can visualize it happening, it'll happen now. And every level of consciousness in between those two statements. Where are you? This tool is literally the last class. There's one more class that I teach about the difference between a Jewish soul and a non-Jewish soul. The reason for the Holocaust and other aspects. So we'll do that next week. But this class is really the highest level of tool that we can achieve. Understanding this level. Activating this level. Using this level. Where are you? Do you want it? What is the reason that you want it? Bilam is a prophet He is a prophet on the same level as Moshe. The verse in the Torah says there has never been a prophet in Israel like Moshe. And the sages interpreted that to say, wait a second, why do we need to say in Israel? And they then realized that there was someone who was on the same level as Moshe, who wasn't in Israel. He was Bilam. Bilam's a rasha, an evil person. He wanted to curse the Jewish nation. Was unsuccessful only because God stopped him. All of the story of the talking donkey, whoever heard of a donkey talking, is talking about mind over matter. Why could the donkey see the angel? And Bilam couldn't. He's a prophet. But he couldn't see the angel until God elevated his consciousness. Stop limiting yourself. This is the message of this class. This is the use of this tool. Recognize that the Satan within you, the desire to receive for oneself alone, is what's limiting you. Let it go. Grow yourself step by step or hundreds of steps at a time. There are stories told in the Talmud, amazing stories, that during the time when the 10 martyrs were killed, now the martyrs didn't have to accept their death in the way that it was manifested. They chose to accept it. They chose not to kill their murderers and torturers. They had that control of mind over matter. There's stories told that one martyr was being burned at the stake, so to speak, and much worse than that. But one of his guards jumped into the fire to die with him. And that guard received total fulfillment in the Garden of Eden. He completed his tikkun with that action of jumping into the fire, trying to save the martyr. Now, we're not suggesting that you need to do that. We're suggesting that you need to have the ability to conceive of that in order to manifest the totality of possibilities of mind over matter. Stop putting yourself in a box. Stop limiting yourself. What are the tools that will help you achieve that? The Torah on Shabbat morning. The Hebrew letters. A mantra, whether from the Zohar or a verse from the Torah or from the Zohar or from the Talmud. What will help you achieve it? The 72 names of God. What the 42-letter name, the Anabakoach. All of the tools in the last 19 classes. All of that helps you reach this level where you can manifest the Mashiach either miraculously or in a natural state, in a natural way. What is the idea of a natural Mashiach? world will just get less chaotic, step by step. It won't take a man to come into the world to achieve that. It won't be the case of a man causing the world to go to war, to cleanse and punish all the 5,000 years of chaos that man has created, which is what the Armageddon War describes and is a function of. It doesn't have to happen that way. It's up to us. How do you want it happening? You are in control of your destiny. Every Yom Kippur, you have the opportunity to build your year the way you want it to be. But you have to have the certainty that you can achieve that, that you can do that, that it will happen. Are there any questions? You want to unmute your phones, guys? Let me know if there's any questions.
When we have lapses of consciousness and speak negatively about either our goals or the way we think things are, what kind of damage does that do to the other times when we're very certain?
Every instant of every day, the world is created anew. Bereshit is not Bereshit. It's not in the beginning, it's in a beginning. Every instant of every day, you create anew your world. This instant, you verbalized some negative aspects towards something else. You've limited yourself. Mashiach cannot come into your world at that time, at that instant. How do you maintain constant connection to the Tree of Life, as opposed to being a normal human being who vacillates between the Tree of Life connection and the Tree of Knowledge, Good and Evil connection? How? Use the tools. What are the tools? Don't verbalize judgment against anything but yourself. Judge yourself, never another person. Judge yourself, never the world that you live in. Accept that world and change it. The adage is, be happy with what you have and ask for more. Now, it's not as deep an answer as you're looking for, but it is a hint at where that answer is. If you have trouble with it after thinking about it a few weeks, call me and we'll discuss it.
You asked earlier in the class to remind you, why do we need a righteous person or a tzaddik?
The definition of a tzaddik or a righteous person is someone who is constantly at the level of connection to the Tree of Life. What is the connection to the Tree of Life? All desires to receive have been transformed into desire to receive in order to share. there is no longer a desire to receive for oneself alone within the consciousness of that human being. And therefore, he's no longer a human being. He's raised himself to the level of the divine, the level of the righteous. The righteous means that he does the right thing all the time. And he doesn't doubt that he's doing the right thing. I'm trying to put it in a way that we are so far and distant from truly righteous people in our generation. You've heard stories from the teachers in the center. I wouldn't say this in my other classes, but you both experienced this. You've heard stories of how they could go to the Rav and get a blessing and it happened in their life. There was no issues. It was just done. The Rav at that moment, at that level, was a righteous person. Is he constantly at that level of consciousness? I can't say. I know in our generation there are not people who are revealed who are on that level of consciousness. We've lost that merit. 20 years ago we had the Baba Sali in Israel, and we had the Rav teaching what he was teaching. The Baba Sali is past. People could go to the Baba Sali and every one of his blessings manifested. 200 years ago, every one of the blessings of the Baal Shem Tov manifested, and the Magid de Mezrich manifested. But there was a difference. And the difference is told by this metaphorical story. The Baal Shem Tov knew how to, what's called shortening of the way. He knew how to travel instantly from one location to another. He had that name, or that group of names from the 72 names. The Baal Shem Tov used to go to the forest, and he'd go to a particular tree in the forest, and he'd go to a particular branch in the forest, and he'd say the specific name, and whatever he asked for would happen. And the Magid de Mezrich, his student, the next level, the next generation, he would go to the forest. He would go to the tree and the branch of the tree. And he would say, I don't remember the name, but it'll have to work. What I'm asking for, I want you to do. And most of the time, it happened. But not 100% of the time. And the next generation after him, people like Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, people of many different levels, the Chabad house, the Chabad system started at that same time. Many of these people knew the forest. They didn't know the tree, and they didn't know the name to say. But they went and they said, this is the forest. This is the information I have. I want you to do this. And less times than the Magid de Mezrich, but most of the time, it happened. And then the next generation happened. But they even forgot the forest. So they went to other forests. And they said, I don't know the forest, I don't know the tree, I don't know the branch, I don't know the name, but I want you to do this. And most of the time it happened, less times than the previous generation. We are now in the generation that doesn't know the forest. It doesn't even know what continent. But we can go and speak to God and ask that it happen. When we choose to remove the Satan from our consciousness. Do you need a Sadiq? The halakha says pick a teacher. Choose a teacher. Pick a Sadiq. I teach you every day, light a candle. For those Sadiqim who have passed on that day, and ask them to help you and intercede with you, knowing that you have to do your work, but they will assist you. Do you need a Sadiq? Or are you the Sadiq at that instant? Where is your consciousness? Any other questions? Have a beautiful Shabbat. Please make it your business to deal with the 3-week meditation.
Can you record next week's class? I'll be on vacation.
Sure.
I'll try to connect. I might be able to, but I, to be sure, if you would record it and send it to me.
Sure.
I'll be in Colorado, nice and cool.
Okay, well, try and call it on the phone if it's convenient for you.
I will try. I don't know where we'll be, but I'll try.
Understood. Have a wonderful vacation.
Thank you. When is your marriage date?
My marriage date is Tu B'Av, the 15th of August, which happens this year to also be the 15th day of the month of Av. It's a very powerful spiritual day.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Marcia, any other questions before I hang up?
No, thank you.
Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Bye, Marcia.